Hello, my beautiful souls, and welcome back to another episode of the Manifestation Babe podcast. Today, I'm going to be sharing four things that I'm doing right now to up-level my life, because feeling my best is my number one key, number one priority, the secret to manifestation, the secret to manifesting my best life.
Welcome to the Manifestation Babe podcast. My name is Catherine Zinkina, and I'm a manifestation expert, master mindset coach, and multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm obsessed with helping you achieve everything that you once thought was impossible. If you are looking to massively up-level your life, your finances, your relationships, your productivity and success, then you have come to the right place. My goal in this podcast is to help you see the infinite potential within yourself to be, do, and have anything that your heart desires. Think of this podcast as your weekly dose of mindset development to help you maximize who you are and where you're going. Leave it to me to provide you with the tools, the resources, the strategies, and teachings that you need to manifest a reality wilder than your wildest dreams. I know we're about to have so much fun together, so thank you so much for pushing play today, and now let's begin.
I've had a lot of time and spaciousness in my life lately before I gear up for launch season, which is coming up in May for Sovereign Money, and I have just been craving an opportunity where I can really just dive into places where I can maximize my life, right? Where I can look into what needs to be eliminated, what needs to be shifted, what needs to be refined, what I can add in to just live my best life. Like, I feel so grateful, so appreciative of where my life already is at. And I'm also that type of person who constantly asks herself, like, how can I make it even better? Because if life is just a game and we're here to play the game, why not play it at our best, right? So I just wanted to share four things that I've been prioritizing in the last month that have made such a profound difference in the way that I feel. And let me tell you, before you think that they've been super easy, they have not been super easy at all, but they have been so worth it. So before I share what those four things are, I just wanted to remind you that I have a free ebook that I wrote sharing the 14 principles, beliefs, and practices that have made me a millionaire and can make you one too, which you can download by heading over to the show notes or manifestationbabe.com/moneybook. So this is an ebook that I wrote over Christmas break. I'm super proud of it. It's really good shit. It's been shifting so many people's lives when it comes to their money mindset and how they see money and specific practices that they can put into place, specific beliefs that they can focus on, specific principles that can help you become a magnet to money and manifest more money with ease. So again, I'm going to drop that link in the show notes, as well as you can head over to manifestationbabe.com/moneybook. Okay, so what are these four things that I've been doing right now to up-level my life? Number one, I have been a complete psychopath about my sleep. And I know it sounds so simple, like, oh my God, Catherine, but sleep, in my opinion, has been the key to my mental health. And not just sleep, not just a certain amount of hours of it, but really prioritizing the quality of it. So let me share with you how I have been making prioritizing 8 hours of really high quality sleep possible in my life. Now, I get it. Just so you know, I get that we all have different schedules. I have been living the newborn life, the baby life, the toddler life. Our toddlers, our children, life doesn't always let us get the best sleep possible. But some of the hacks that I've been implementing have given me an ability, more of an opportunity to maximize as much sleep as possible. So even on those nights where my son does wake me up or my dogs wake me up or God knows who wakes me up, it has just allowed me to access much deeper layers or deeper levels of sleep. And I wear something called an Aura ring, which I'm obsessed with. It goes on my index finger. It's this gold ring. It's kind of a chunky ring, but I am so obsessed with it for tracking my steps, for tracking my sleep, for tracking my stress levels, for tracking my menstrual cycle. It's been such a game changer for me. So this is how I know that these things have been working for me. I'm in bed by 8:30 p.m. I know that's early for some people. I used to be one of those girls who, like, I wouldn't find my way into bed until like 11 p.m., be asleep by midnight, get up at 7 or 8 a.m. and think that I'm thriving in life. And I have just found that the earlier I go to bed and the earlier I wake up, the better I feel. And I am not a morning person. Let me tell you that. Waking up at 5, 6, 7 is the absolute earliest. And for the most part, like on my best days, I would say 7 a.m. is a good wake up time. But if I'm going to bed earlier, I don't actually mind waking up at 6, especially when I have my 7 a.m. workouts. I have been loving waking up at 6 and going to like a 7 a.m. Pilates class or a 7:30 weightlifting class that I've been signing up for. That's actually also been helping me with my sleep. So getting to bed at 8:30 has actually been really easy because by the time I'm done with work, by the time I'm done with my toddler, by the time he's in bed, the fact that I worked out that day, the fact that I got my 10,000 steps in that day, I am so exhausted, right? I am just, my muscles are fatigued. My brain is fatigued. I feel ready for bed. This is hard, but it's worth it. I'm telling you, I used to be the person who wouldn't put her phone down until like 2 seconds before it was time to go to sleep. And I have learned how horrendous not only that is to our mental health, but just our physical health as well, where blasting blue light or just blasting a stimulus into our eyes, into our brains right before bed just isn't going to create the best quality of sleep. So I put my phone away. I don't use it for at least the last hour of my night. Ideally, this would be 2 hours or 90 minutes if I can handle it. But that's been a game changer. I switched out my bedside table, doesn't have a normal light bulb. I found this hack on the internet. Actually, I was listening to a podcast, a wellness podcast, and the guest mentioned how she switched out her bedroom lights to be red light bulbs, just like red light bulb, red colored light bulbs that she bought on Amazon. I believe it was, if you're familiar with Detox by Rebecca, I believe she was the guest and she was the one that shared this tip. So I did that. I went on Amazon, I bought red light bulbs and I switched them out in my bedroom and basically inhibited any sort of artificial lights that would inhibit my natural melatonin production. I have learned how important it is for us to have a natural, normal cycle of melatonin production, to have a natural, normal circadian rhythm. I started to prioritize getting sunlight into my eyes first thing in the morning, and then only spending my evenings with that red light because now it's dark. There's no more sun. I don't want to mimic the sun in my room. So now it's dark and that red light is really key. I also have a blackout mask for my eyes because any sort of light triggers my ability to access deeper layers, or keep saying layers, but I think it's levels, deeper levels of sleep. And I am someone who wears lash extensions, so I get that, you know, there's resistance to wearing a blackout mask. So I do have an incredible one that I have found on Amazon. I've bought it for every single person I know who has lash extensions, who is struggling to find the perfect eye mask. I'm telling you right now, I found it. I will link it in the show notes. It is amazing and it does not touch my eyelashes, and my eyelashes are pretty long. Like if you're seeing on video right now, they're pretty long lash extensions and it doesn't touch them. I take magnesium daily, So many of us are deficient in magnesium, and there's all different types of magnesium out there on the market. Definitely do your research, but the ones that I take come in many different forms. I take certain ones in the morning, in a beverage that I make. I take a special beverage in the evening that has another type of magnesium, and then I have like another type of magnesium in my normal supplements. And this is everything that's been recommended and prescribed essentially for me through my functional medicine doctor. But basically the types that I think are most key and important and most effective are magnesium threonate, glycinate, and chlorite. Now, for anyone who struggles with getting sleepy at night, I'm telling you it's your goddamn phone that's preventing you from falling asleep at night, because I have tested this myself. There was one night when Brennan was on an off-the-grid camping trip, and I couldn't fall asleep one night because I was really missing him. And I realized that the reason why I couldn't fall asleep, not only was it because I was missing him, but I was trying to entertain myself by missing him. And so I spent the evening on Instagram and TikTok and online shopping and doing all the things on the internet. And I wasn't getting sleepy. And it was now 1 a.m., and my son decided to get up at 5 a.m. that day. So I was just grumpy, groggy the next day. And so I realized, you know what? I think that's my proof and my sign right there that my phone keeps me up at night. So I started to instead read as my source of entertainment. So like literally reading a book, whether it's a novel or a nonfiction book, and or just depending on the night, I started to meditate at night. And usually my meditations, it's more like an afternoon thing for me, but I started to do it in my evenings. And whether it's meditation or praying or just connecting with the universe, just keeping my eyes closed, imagine that. Keeping your eyes closed in a dark room would make you sleepy. So I've realized, oh my God, it makes me so tired. Even if I had some sort of a plan of doing something, watching something, reading something after my meditation, it's like, I don't even want to do it anymore because it's now 9 p.m. I've meditated. I feel ready for bed. I just want to go to sleep. I can't believe it's been almost 2 years since I've last hosted a live training. Well, consider this a manifestation, because for the first time in almost 2 years, I'm hosting a live 3-day money manifestation training called Cashflow. And the best part, it's absolutely free to join. We're going to be talking all about raising your financial set point, taking your power back when it comes to money so that it no longer has its hold on you, having money respond to you as the sovereign queen of money, not the other way around, becoming wealthy without frying your nervous system, the exact steps to accessing financial abundance for life, and so much more. You can sign up for this free training at manifestationbabe.com/cashflow. Again, that's manifestationbabe.com/cashflow. We start May 15th, and I can't wait to see you there. I found that infrared sauna. If you have an infrared sauna in your house, or you have an ability to use one, or even use one of those sauna blankets, I use a higher dose sauna blanket in my bedroom. I have like a big infrared sauna, but right now we don't really have a space for it in my house. Believe it or not, I live in the biggest house I've ever lived in, and for some reason we don't have space for this sauna, just the way it's laid out. So I've been using a sauna blanket that is an infrared sauna, and oh my God, this thing relaxes me. It puts me into a parasympathetic space right away. Parasympathetic state, and I just have such an easier time falling asleep the nights that I use it. Another thing is breath work. The evenings that I do breath work, I fall asleep immediately, so easily. And then I like to use hypnosis for various different things before I fall asleep. Lately, I've been listening to one of Marissa Pierce's hypnoses for weight loss, and that has been such a great way for me to be really mindful of my eating practices the next day, and just my eating habits and eating choices, and just feeling really good about my body. But also her voice puts me to sleep. So that's been super helpful as well. And then, like I've mentioned before, working out 4 times a week. I work out basically every other day. I have something scheduled. it has to be a class or I'm not going. I've just decided that that's just how I work. And so I'm going to work with that motivation rather than against it. I'm far more motivated to work out if I have a class. So when I go to a class 4 times a week, every other day, my muscles are just so fatigued. I'm so sore. I sleep deeper, so much better. And I remember my trainer, when I hired a trainer, when I was very early postpartum, she said, I know you're not getting enough sleep right now, but just so you know, showing up to these workouts and exercising your body will actually help you get deeper sleep in those hours in between your baby waking up. So you're actually going to be more rested than if you just didn't work out at all. And I believe that now. Holy shit. It's been, made such a difference. The second thing that I'm doing is I've really been diving into uncomfortable feelings, you guys, and really diving into nipping behaviors that cause me to avoid uncomfortable feelings. You know, I'm a coach, I'm a master mindset coach, manifestation expert. I love doing the inner work. And so of course I do it myself. And I always challenge myself to go deeper here. So it's not like something was going on in my life where I needed to have like some sort of overhaul. But for me, it was just like, how can I dive deeper here? How can I really refine and edit things in my life that just aren't giving me the best quality of life? And this was something where I've noticed in the last couple months, this like low grade discomfort that I've been feeling and how certain behaviors would cause this feeling to go away, but then come back. And so I realized that I was engaging in certain behaviors that were causing the discomfort to go away temporarily, but not actually getting to the source of the discomfort. So the discomfort was still coming back. And by not addressing these uncomfortable feelings and messages that I was receiving for things that needed to be addressed, I was really keeping myself from, you know, reaching and accessing deeper layers of transformation within myself. You know, through eclipse season and just the last few months of this shamanic death that I've shared about a couple episodes ago, just brought up all kinds of feels for me. I've just become aware of certain behaviors and certain distractions, really diving into practices that I could do to get to the source of these uncomfortable feelings instead of engaging in things like, and I have discovered that I've had this pattern where I would shop. So anytime I'm shopping more than usual, it's typically because I'm trying to distract myself from something deeper. Whenever I am booking excessive amounts of massages and spas and facials, not that there's anything wrong with that, because you know I love them and I do certain, you know, wellness practices for different reasons, but I've also discovered that, wait a second, this week I've had like 3 facials. Why do I need 3 facials? Am I avoiding something? And I've realized that just from pattern recognition, that whenever I feel uncomfortable, like there's some sort of discomfort that I'm not addressing, I will book a spa or service of some sort that then creates a distraction for me to then not address the feeling. And then the feeling, of course, will go away because now I have something on my calendar. It's keeping me busy. It's filling things up. It's giving me something to do. But then the feeling returns the next day. And I can keep doing these things that on the external are pacifying the behavior or the feeling, but not really getting rid of it, not really addressing it. And so I kept killing the messenger instead of addressing the message. And then this also came from emotional eating. I feel like I've healed so much around eating for myself over the last decade of my life, especially coming from a very disordered eating past. There's just so much healing. I'm not the same person I was. You can ask anyone who's known me back then. Like, it just, I'm a completely different person. But I'm like, is there still a layer of some sort of distraction that's happening with my eating? And I was listening to a podcast, you guys, I'm forgetting whose and who was the guest, but it was one of my wellness podcasts that I listened to. And they were talking about emotional eating. And the guest, I think, is a registered dietitian and psychologist and someone who really understands the root cause of emotional eating. And she provided a framework that has been so revolutionary for me, that has completely opened my eyes to, oh my God, I'm still emotional eating. And that was, when you're feeling hunger, tune into where you're feeling the hunger before you address it with food. And what she meant by that was, do you feel the hunger in your belly? If yes, like literally, does it originate in this one concentrated spot on the left side underneath your diaphragm, which is your stomach, your literal stomach? Is that where the message is coming from? If so, then yes, that's real hunger. But if it's showing up in other parts of your body, like you're feeling hungry in your chest, you're feeling hunger in your head, you're feeling hunger somewhere else, like it's not originating from this actual hunger pain, then it's an emotional hunger. And then you want to address it with, what is this really, where is this really coming from? Can I address this feeling somehow else? Is this a meditation that I need to do? Is this belief work that I need to do? Is it just sitting with this feeling and just asking, like, why is it coming up? And then doing a practice that helps me address the root cause of the feeling and helps me like mitigate it in some other way. What message is it trying to share with me? Because if I just eat and feed the messenger, I'm not really getting to the root cause of the message. So that's been woe for me, as well as just scrolling on social media for hours and hours and hours, just asking myself, like, what am I distracting myself from? And then realizing that none of these behaviors are going to address the uncomfortable feelings on a long-term basis. They'll do their work and they'll do their magic for, you know, a day at a time, a couple hours at a time, minutes at a time, even seconds at a time. But at the end of the day, if you really want to overcome some sort of feeling that's been bothering you, you then need to address the feeling and not just cover it up with some sort of a behavior. So that's been like, whoa for me. Now, the third thing, and this has been really hard for me, is clearing my calendar and schedule of maybes and really diving into, is this a fuck yes or a fuck no? Because if it's a maybe, it is not a fuck yes, Catherine. One day you're going to learn that. So there's this pattern that I thought I worked through, but apparently it reared itself back into my life, where I've recognized that I've been saying yes to maybes. Maybes being, you know, an opportunity or an event or a gathering or a trip or something that shows up on my calendar that isn't something that genuinely excites me and is a fuck yes. And I've been saying yes to them either because they're a strong maybe, which is an almost yes, or when I agreed to them, it was coming from a people-pleasing behavior where I didn't want to upset the person before I said yes to them. I didn't want to upset them by saying no to them. Or maybe even the reason why I said yes is because it was a yes, but then it changed into a maybe because either I changed or something about my life changed. And I wasn't giving myself permission to get rid of the maybes and cancel things. And I was saying yes to things that were feeling stressful. And then I remember looking at my calendar finally, and even, you know, the COO of Manifestation Babe, who's pretty much my family member at this point, Londa, she was like, Catherine, tell me more about these things that are on your calendar right now. Are they fuck yeses? Because the way you're describing them does not sound like a fuck yes. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. It isn't a fuck yes. And so I've been teaching my students this for a really long time, which is this principle of how when you're saying yes to things that aren't fully in alignment for you, that aren't a full body yes, you're actually automatically saying no to the things that aren't, because you're giving your energy, you know, you only have so much time and so much human energy to give and so much calendar space, that if you're filling it up with all of these maybes and no's, then you're not creating enough space and spaciousness for the yeses. And so I've been teaching this to my students for a really long time. And I've been, you know, I thought I was practicing this, but apparently I needed to go on a deeper level with this and realize, oh my God, I've reverted to old patterns. I am now addressing a deeper layer of this people pleasing and just realizing that I don't want others to perceive me a certain way by canceling or saying no or not wanting to hang out or not wanting to be on someone's podcast or whatever it is, however it shows up. And so recently I just ripped the Band-Aid off and I did the uncomfortable thing and I canceled a couple of things in my calendar, which were not tiny little things. I canceled an entire trip across the world. I canceled a weekend mastermind that I'm a part of that just, it just was feeling like too much. It was feeling like stressed fun and not just fun, you know, in itself, in a different vortex, in a different timeline, in a different time frame, it could have been a fuck yes for me. But because I have back-to-back launches and a work trip that is international in Bali, like, does it make sense for me to tire myself out right now and keep with these commitments just because I'm afraid that the people who are part of this commitment are no longer going to like me for saying no? And so for me, it's been a lesson in honoring spaciousness and creating space for the universe to deliver to me more of what is in alignment for me. And, you know, in this void of spaciousness, instead of being so full and so busy that there's nowhere possible, there's no space at all to receive anything new. But my God, you guys, it's been so, so hard. I've really been sitting with this uncomfortable feeling, like sending the message, the cancellation message, and then having my heart just race until the person responds to me, right? And just realizing how much power I'm giving away to other people and how other people perceive me and how I am here, you know, teaching my students and the people who are listening to me to really honor their own needs and to really prioritize what's important to them and only do what's in alignment to them, and how here I am not doing that. And so for me, it was like, I need to rip the Band-Aid off. I need to just do what I need to do and just dive back into what I know to be true and live my own principles. And already I'm feeling so much lighter. I'm feeling so much better. I'm feeling so much more certain and so much more protective of my time and just knowing that my time is precious. You know, I have a son, I have a business, I have a husband, I have so much going on, and I don't need to fill up my calendar the same way that I used to be filling it up when I was single or not yet married or not yet had kids or not had a business. Like, there's all these different eras. And right now I'm in my working, building a business mom era. And I really want to prioritize my health right now and my family right now and my business right now. And it doesn't have to be social hour for me. And I don't have to be everywhere and I don't have to be all over the place. You know, I don't have to engage in this FOMO mindset, because where I am now, I've built my brand to such a degree where I don't have to say yes to everything. And I feel like I was still operating from this old version of myself that was still in this energy of build, 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 build. Yes, 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 yes. Be everywhere at once. And instead now I'm like, hold on a second. I need to really act from not only the version of myself who has everything that she wants already and is already where she wants to go, but just even the version of myself that I am right now, the version of me that I am right now, I need to act like her, and she already gets to say no. I think everyone gets to say no, but just, you know, applying this to my own life, like, I'm in a place where I get to say no, and I really need to be selective with my time, selective with my calendar, selective with what I say yes to. And the fourth thing that has been up-leveling my life, I've already talked about, but I just want to talk about a little bit more because it came from a place of me being really honest with myself, which is I've really been prioritizing working out, building muscle, strength training, and just moving my body. I've been signing up for Pilates classes. I've really been loving reformer Pilates classes. There's a gym in Scottsdale that has these really fun strength training classes called Body, B-O-D-I. And I've been taking their classes and just fucking loving it. I can't tell you guys how good I feel in my body right now just from committing myself to moving it in a fashion that builds strength and resilience and like core strength and flexibility. And yeah, I just feel so good. I've been prioritizing taking, 10,000 steps a day, which you always hear 10,000 steps and I never really like prioritize that. But then I realized if I was being honest with myself, I was living a pretty sedentary lifestyle and then complaining about the way that my body looked. And I've realized that, in my journey to creating a body that I feel really good in, I was only committing myself 80% of the way there and kind of lying to myself about the last 20%, saying that I'm doing everything in my power, right, to create this foundation that I'm proud of, but I was only committing 80% of the way there. And so it took a lot of radical honesty for me that in order for me to feel my best, I need to be at this at 100%. Now, I'm not saying like 100% like hustle, exhaust yourself, go crazy, become an athlete. I just mean 100% to the best of my ability and what is important to me and what makes me feel good. And also, I'm in a place of building up a foundation for my next pregnancy and realigning my body and building up core strength and building up strength just in general for another pregnancy. And I want to implement certain habits and make things certain habits so that when things do get hard, because I remember what it was like to be pregnant and try to exercise and work out, it was fucking hard, that I would at least have these habits that I didn't have before. It was a lot more sedentary, not as movement focused, didn't have the best like habits built in before I got pregnant my first time. And then of course they didn't carry over into my first pregnancy. So now I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, let's go. Like I really want to be my strongest self in my next pregnancy and especially in my next labor. And when the going gets tough, I already have those habits where I might not be able to work out, to the level that I can right now, but at least it's a habit to where even if I can't make it through an hour long class, I at least went to half a class. Even if I just show up for 10 minutes, even if I just take, an extra walk around my block, that's still something that is so much greater than it was before. It's still so much better than it was before. So anyway, those are my four things that I'm doing right now to uplevel my life. Let me know if you guys enjoyed this episode. I always love listening to other people's routines, other people's hacks, other people's lessons that they share and things that they're doing to take their life to the next level on other people's podcasts. So I figured maybe I should share some of my own. So let me know if you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more because I can go on and on and on and on and on about this. I have been super deep in my wellness game right now, as well as my own internal energy game for even more epic manifestations and just a more epic quality of life. And I would be so happy to keep sharing stuff like this. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. I love you so much. Don't forget to download the free ebook that I'm very proud of and I think should be in everyone's phones right now, available for download to read. I think it's a game changer if you ask me. My free ebook on the 14 principles, practices, and beliefs that have made me a millionaire and will make you one too. You can download it at manifestationbabe.com/moneybook, or you can go to the show notes and click the link there. And with that being said, I will catch you in the next episode. Mwah. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you absolutely loved what you heard today, be sure to share it with me by leaving a review on iTunes so that I can keep the good stuff coming your way. If you aren't already following me on social media, come soak up the extra inspiration on Instagram by following at ManifestationBabe or visiting my website at ManifestationBabe.com. I love and adore you so much and can't wait to connect with you in the next episode. In the meantime, go out there and manifest some magic.